The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I was going to leave the coronavirus topic subject. I was going to move on, but during the commercial break, I checked Twitter and Facebook, and lo and behold, there was Nancy Pelosi giving a statement about the piece of legislation passed in a very bipartisan way. $8 billion. Bipartisan. This is a piece of legislation that Nancy Pelosi tried to secretly insert about $1 billion for abortion. It had nothing to do with the coronavirus. Yeah. So just a short time ago, she called a press conference. And I mentioned this before. Anybody who uses this tragedy for political purposes, including the president, I will condemn. Nancy Pelosi, she said, well, we passed a bipartisan. And then immediately she said, the Democrats, 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 the Democrats. Made the whole thing absolutely partisan. That's just disgusting. It is. I'm sorry. It is just disgusting. All right. I'm done with that. All right. Let's go to the phones. And we have Rick in Columbus. Hey, Rick. Thanks for calling Bob Burney Live. Welcome. You're on the air.
Okay. Hey, Bob. Suppose I was asleep for 30 days, then I woke up today, and I started reading the headlines. Coronavirus that, fear, being spread and all this. So then if I said, well, I would assume that the Ohio hospitals are overflowing at capacity. I'm driving, I can't Google it, but I would just challenge somebody to do a real quick Google search or see if the Ohio hospitals are reporting that they're at capacity and overflowing with patients. And also would remind people, I don't know how many years ago, 5-6 years ago, we had the measles outbreak from Disneyland spread across 6 states. I did research this previously. Not a single person died. Okay? We really need to turn off our TVs. I say this all the time. This is so overblown. It's unreal.
Well,
people will get sick. People get sick all the time.
Yeah. I'm with you on much of that. This virus, from all we can tell, is worse. We can take a look at what happened in South Korea. We can take a look at what happened in Italy. The death rate in Italy particularly is pretty high, although most of those who died in Italy are the elderly, the older. But most of this is what if. Okay, what if this thing takes off, like a lot of these so-called experts say? The hospitals are not overflowing now, but they are in Italy. In fact, the situation in Italy is so bad. I had it in my stack on Wednesday, and I didn't get to it, and I can't believe it because it was really important. The Prime Minister of Italy, and I have a direct quote, gave instructions to medical personnel to not treat older people to make room for younger people. In other words, if they're older and they get this virus, we don't have room for them in the hospital. We can't treat them. Just let them die. I'm not making that up. That actually happened in Italy. So they're concerned that that could happen here, that the hospitals could be at capacity. Are they today? No. But, and again, I think that in some ways the governor has probably gone too far, but they are trying to avoid what has happened in Italy and a couple of other countries as well.
Well, Italy's kind of a dirty country. I've been there like 5 or 6 times. I'll tell you that. So sanitation probably isn't the best.
Well,
socialized medicine.
That's true. Then the socialized medicine is certainly a part of it. Hey, Rick, thanks. Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Well, and again, I had it in my stack. It was either yesterday or the day before, and I meant to read it to you, and I never got to it. There was a bullet point. Older people, do not treat them to make room for younger people, because they said they're going to die anyway. So don't bother treating them, because we just don't have room. We don't have the resources to treat older people. They're going to die. That's just too bad. We're sorry. We're sad. But don't treat them. And like I said, I am so glad I am not in the position to make these decisions. When Governor DeWine first started making these decisions, I thought, he is really going too far. He is really going too far. And then I began reading some of the projections from health officials of what could happen if this thing really... The director of health, Dr. Acton, I think is her name, A-C-T-O-N, I believe, using scientific projections, she believes that right now in the state of Ohio, right now, there are probably 100,000 people infected with the coronavirus. And she has some pretty good scientific statistics to back that up. They haven't been tested. They haven't shown symptoms, because a lot of people don't even show symptoms for 2 weeks. But she has reason to believe that there may be 100,000 people in the state of Ohio already infected. Now, the overwhelming majority of them will not require hospitalization. If they're younger, they're in good health, well, they'll have the flu. They'll have a fever for 6-8 hours and no big deal. So 100,000 people who are just kind of mildly sick with a fever for a few hours, it's not a big deal. But when you consider the elderly, people with compromised immune systems, it wouldn't take much for the hospital system in the state of Ohio to be absolutely overwhelmed. Now, I was at the hospital this morning. One of our staff here at WRFD has been in the hospital, and he's been very, very sick. I was at the intensive care unit at one of our hospitals this morning. I did not see one single empty bed. Not one. Not one. So if we had an explosion of this virus and a large number of people had to go into intensive care, it could probably be an immediate problem. So here's my point. I think we have to be careful in second-guessing people who have a whole lot more information than we do. I think we just need to be careful and cautious of that. Does that mean that we implicitly trust government without questioning? No, I don't think that at all. But I think we have to be cautious in judging too severely people who have access to a whole lot of information that we don't have. The State Director of Health is Dr. Acton, who has been a part of every one of the press conferences, impresses me as a straight shooter, not prone to panic, and a truth teller. At least that's my impression. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, we're going to take the final break of the hour, and then we will return.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
One of our listeners sent me the story that I was talking about in Italy. The top Italian health agency is now giving instructions to hospitals that patients be admitted, rather than admit patients on a first-come, first-served basis, hospitals will swap to catastrophe medicine guidelines. So in other words, just so you know I'm not exaggerating, let me scroll down here just a minute. Okay, here. This means, and I quote, those with the greatest chance of survival are given priority. If hospitals are full, elderly patients will not be admitted to intensive care. They will not. Patients that have a better chance of survival, younger, more healthy, will be admitted. And those that don't have a great chance of survival, the elderly, people with underlying health problems, they will not get into intensive care. That's what's happening in Italy. I can't imagine that ever happening here in America, but the extreme measures that are being taken here in America is an attempt to avoid that. Too much? Too far? I don't know. But I think we need to be careful, again, in judging when we don't have all the information. Hey, I mentioned that I sent out an email to pastors today inviting them to call a special phone line that we've set up and just record a brief message to our listening audience as a means of encouraging, calming, and so forth. And within minutes, we started getting phone calls on that line. Tell your pastor to look for my letter and ask them to call the line and leave a message. If they didn't get my email, tell them to send me an email, bob@bobtalk.com, and I will make sure that they are added to our mailing list. But here is another one that we got just a short time ago. Another pastor here in Central Ohio has a message for you folks.
Hi, this is Michael Coughlin, a writer for thingsabove.us, and I wanted to encourage you that during this time of fear that God is in control. In fact, he has ordained all things that will come to pass, and this is an opportunity for Christians who know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to proclaim that to others and to share the hope that we have of eternal life with other people.
I love those messages of encouragement. So once again, make sure that your pastor got my letter. I sent it out about 3:15, 3:20 this afternoon, and the phone calls are starting to come in, and we will play those throughout the day, throughout the week, just as a means of calming people. That's part of the privilege we have here at WRFD. We want to be a source of hope and encouragement, particularly in these perilous times. Many of you will remember the name Kirby John Caldwell, Pastor Kirby John Caldwell. He was a personal spiritual advisor to both Barack Obama and George W. Bush. Yeah, it looks like he's going to prison. Yep, a scam that he and some others were involved in, where they scammed some members of his congregation and older people in a retirement village owned by his megachurch in Houston. Evidently, he himself received almost $1 million, which he used on personal expenses. For 2 years, he has claimed his innocence, but yesterday has now pleaded guilty. If you're a regular listener, a longtime listener, you will remember I said in the second term of George W. Bush, he had surrounded himself with some bad spiritual advisors. For those of you who really follow politics, George W. Bush changed dramatically in his second term. He was not the same president as he was in the first term. And I'm convinced it's because of the spiritual advisors that he had surrounded himself with. And many of them were the same spiritual advisors that Barack Obama had. That's one of the encouraging things about Donald Trump. Now, there are a couple of whack jobs on his spiritual inner circle. There's no doubt about it. There are a couple. But most of the people that Donald Trump has surrounded himself with as spiritual advisors are solid, godly people. And I think that's one of the reasons why President Trump has been able to accomplish the things that he has been able to accomplish. He has surrounded himself with some very good people. And I think without those people, we would see much more of the behavior that sometimes causes us to cringe. People are impacted by those they surround themselves with. It's kind of a reminder to be careful of the people you hang around with, the people who advise you. So one of Barack Obama's closest spiritual advisors and George W. Bush's has admitted guilt in conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Wow. Hey, support your church this weekend. If they have decided to cancel services, find a way to encourage them, listen online or whatever. If they have decided to have church, go. But support them. Have a great weekend, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.